Of Capital District Off Track Betting.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sunday edition of Racing Across America. I'm Seth Merrow on a wet, raw, cool Sunday morning in the Capital District. If you're out driving around playing a little extra time, use caution. I mean, it's hovering around the freezing mark and it's raining right now, and they say things could shift as the afternoon or the day progresses, a little sleet, a little snow or whatnot. So again, if you're headed out, just drive carefully. We want you around for today and through the holiday weekend and for the future. So take your time as you travel around today, because again, it's a little bit messy as it is that time of year where you do have to use some caution. Let me toss out some notes, some promo notes before we get underway formally here. Do want to remind you today the bonuses continue. Couple percent, 2% bonuses as far as Del Mar wagers this afternoon. 3% as far as Churchill Downs. So Del Mar and Churchill, if you're wagering to Capital OTB bet account, you have the potential to get those bonuses. There are some restrictions. Check out the website for more info. It's an NFL Sunday here at the Clubhouse Racebook. Love to see you down here. You can watch all the games. And there's usually a studio is in the back of the Clubhouse Racebook, if you're not aware. And during the day, I walk out in the front side a few times and usually get a pretty good crowd down here on Sundays. A lot of fun. You can root along your favorite team as far as the games, and certainly root along your favorite horses, because all the horse racing action as well. Put your name on a square. Maybe you'll win a jersey or a food voucher. Wear a jersey. You get in for free. It's all here at the Clubhouse Racebook every Sunday during the NFL season. Watch all the games and catch all the racing action. 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Also, want to remind you that's the location of this year's annual turkey giveaway. Once again, Roddy Valenti and family, Valenti Gravel, and some of the other sponsors. 1,400 turkeys up for grabs Wednesday morning here at the Clubhouse Racebook, co-sponsored by Capital OTB, Kenworth, Capital City Produce, Pirsch, Kaplan, Sterling, and of course ShopRite. But it's mainly Roddy Valenti and family. We've had Roddy on in years past talking about how privileged he feels to be able to do this, given he's in a position to do it, and it's great to see Roddy and his family out there on that morning and see the folks in line who are appreciative of really getting a Thanksgiving meal, because as you can see, some of the other Capital City produce and ShopRite, there's usually a bag of some other goodies as well, maybe some sweet potatoes or whatnot to put on the Thanksgiving table also. That all happens right here at the Clubhouse Racebook. Again, line up early, but things start to unfold at 11 a.m. and will continue until supplies run out. 11 a.m. until supplies last here at the Clubhouse Racebook on this Wednesday, November 27th. Come on down, pick yourself up a turkey for Thanksgiving here at the Clubhouse Racebook. Also, I want to remind you of a couple of mandatories. We will discuss a little bit later today the mandatory down at Gulfstream Park West. It is closing day there with the championship meet at Gulfstream proper coming up in a few days. But Gulfstream Park West closing today means the mandatory pay on the Rainbow Six. There's over $1 million in the pool. I looked at a Mike Welch column in the Racing Forum from a couple of days ago. They're expecting $5, $6, $7 million, maybe. 20-cent increment, so you can put together a little ticket that is a reasonable amount and still have some coverage. We will talk to Ron Nicoletti towards the end of the program and get some of his ideas on this rainbow sequence today at Gulfstream. But keep that in mind. Coming up later today, the mandatory pay at Gulfstream in the Rainbow Six, and it should balloon up enormously. Also, one more mandatory I want to remind you of, coming up Friday, our Capital OTB bounty bet. There's over $2,000 in the pool. It's a mandatory pay on Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. All you have to do is play the late pick five at Aqueduct with your Capital OTB account, and you're in for a shot at all or part of that bounty. Again, that's coming up this Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. Bounty bet, mandatory pay, the late pick five at Aqueduct. All right, that takes care of the housekeeping. Again, Ron Nicoletti coming up a little bit later on, but we'll kick things up with a review of some of the stakes action from yesterday. And again, really since the Breeders' Cup, stakes action has been a little bit light. That's going to change, obviously, this week, as traditionally that Thanksgiving week has some nice stakes. Next week, we have Thanksgiving weekend, then the weekend after that, the Cigar Mile as well. But there's some nice stakes action coming up. But as I say, the last couple of weeks, it's been maybe a little light, but a little light number-wise, but certainly some good races, and that includes yesterday. We'll start things out in New York. I was in doing the OTB Live program yesterday. We talked a little bit about this race, the Red Smith at Aqueduct. And when you looked at this race, you know, I say it a lot of times that the buyers are certainly a tool in my toolbox, and sometimes you look at the page and the buyer numbers just kind of jump out, and they certainly did for Saddler's Joy. It just looked like on the numbers, Saddler's Joy had this field over a little bit of a barrel. I thought Tis a Slam would run better than he did, coming down from Woodbine for Roger Atfield. Tis a Slam is going to be the number one horse. If you watch the Chicklet, kind of a disappointing seventh. But boy, a nice late run from Saddler's Joy, the number seven. I had Red Knight down in the third spot, the number eight horse at 8-1. That one gets up and completes the exacta. And down at the bottom of my mix, we talked with Brad Cox yesterday about Dot Matrix. I thought Dot Matrix was live. The number six horse at 25-1. So essentially, Tis the Slam disappointed me, but the other three up there were all in my mix. And $4.70 for Saddler's Joy, the 50-cent trifecta with, again, a couple other horses I thought were real players. 50-cent trifecta, $128. The dollar exacta, 18 with the 8-1 Red Knight underneath. But Dot Matrix from, again, Brad Cox and owner Marshall Graham, 10 Strike Racing, 25-1 completed. But, again, was a nice, you know, 128 for 50. We're talking 256, over $500 for a $2 try there with a $4 horse on top. And as I say, we talked a little Dot Matrix yesterday with Brad Cox, and question mark with Dot Matrix was going to be the mile and 3/8 distance. Brad said a little bit of an experiment, but he thought the horse would handle it well. And for the New York Red, that was a nice third place finish. But getting back to the winner, it was a nice performance. Came out of a couple of good tries in grade one events. The Sword Dancer up at Saratoga just missed behind Annals of Time. And then a pretty good third place finish just in the previous start in the Turf Classic down at Belmont behind Arklow and Channel Maker. And again, the numbers fired in both of those said Saddler's Joy would be the one to beat. So in only the fourth start of the season, gets the first win of the season, Saddler's Joy. Pretty convincing yesterday in the Red Smith, as kind of the numbers indicated that's the way it would work out. Javier Castellano on board for trainer Tommy Albatrani. So in New York, the Red Smith, it was Saddler's Joy getting it done unsurprisingly, as that one, again, looked logical and did go off as the 6-5 favorite. Up at Woodbine yesterday on Racing Across America, we had Ron Gierkink from the Daily Racing Forum, who covers Woodbine. I said yesterday, we sit just down the press box from Ron when we're up there at Woodbine. And so invited him on board to talk a little bit about two nice stakes at Woodbine yesterday. And as we mentioned then, both with Sovereign Award implications, the Sovereign Award being, of course, the Canadian equivalent of the Eclipse Award, and in the Kennedy Road, Pink Loy sitting on a potential eclipse because a win yesterday would keep him undefeated for the season. He did have the mishap when we were up there Woodbine Mile weekend in the Bold Venture. Came under the wire fourth, but they went and looked at the videotape, and he had actually broken through the gate before the start. So they declared him a non-starter there. But it was about this time of year last year that he kind of went in the wrong direction. So Robert Tiller, after that, again, little mishap in the Bold Venture, just kind of sat on the sidelines a little bit. There was an opportunity for this horse to run, but he thought, no, I'm going to wait for the Kennedy Road. Turned out to be the right move. We'll watch the stretch run here. Pink Lloyd will be the number six horse, 75 cents to the dollar, and Pink Lloyd wins by a margin of a length and a quarter. Extravagant Kid runs second. This was a horse that had invaded for Brendan Walsh, came in from out of town and looked like a logical contender, and was the 4-1 set, third choice. Malibu Secret runs third, but Pink Lloyd gets it done there. As you can see, Eureka Da Silva, very happy. I was standing next to the gate where the trainer and jockey kind of walk from the the course after unsaddling back over the apron, and Jack will go into the jock's room and trainer goes his way. But I saw the conversation between Robert Tiller and Eureka Da Silva after that, kind of unfortunate event in the Bold Venture, and neither one of them seemed happy with the result there. Again, he finished fourth, came under the wire fourth, but was declared a non-starter breaking through the gate, and he has some gate antics. We talked to Robert Tiller about Pink Lloyd before. He has some gate antics, and so, as I say, neither one of them seemed super thrilled with the situation in the Bold Venture. But with that one having a line drawn through it, again, declared a non-starter, that meant he was 5-for-5 going into yesterday's race, now 6-for-6. He was the Canadian Horse of the Year a couple of years ago. We'll see what a 6-for-6 record can get him. There are a couple other horses that have some potential to make some noise going forward as well, as far as year-end honors. Starship Jubilee was one that Ron Gierkink mentioned. But a 6-for-6 record certainly is going to carry a lot of weight. But again, as you saw under the wire, Eureka Da Silva was certainly enthusiastic. The rebound after the disappointment in that Bold Venture try, but maybe more importantly, this was Eureka Da Silva. We talked about it with Ron yesterday. He announced he's retiring. He announced very early this year. We talked to him about it when we were up there this year and got his take on what the game plan would be for him career-wise. Doing a kind of, I want to say, personal trainer kind of a thing. But he's at the top of his career. He has a lead up in Woodbine that clearly is going to make him the leading jockey up there again this year. So there's a guy going out on top. But to have a horse like this, previous Canadian Horse of the Year, Canadian Horse of the Year Sovereign winner, and a horse that Eureka Da Silva has been tied onto for a long time, to go out in your last ride on this horse and get the nice victory and maybe seal up another Sovereign Award. You can see Eureka Da Silva, understandably and properly, very happy yesterday getting the win. So Pink Lloyd gets it done in the Kennedy Road. So again, another unsurprising victory there with Pink Lloyd returning $3.50. But things a little bit different in the Coronation Futurity. Again, we talked about this one with Ron Gierkink yesterday and mentioned two-year-old Sovereign Award implications in here, with Muskoka Gold coming out of a win, two back in the Cup and Saucer, close up second last time, just prior in the Grade 3 Gray, a win here, likely to put Muskoka Gold in the leader's seat for a two-year-old Sovereign Award. But Muskoka Gold, a little disappointing yesterday. Winds up running third as the 9-to-5 favorite. Muskoka Gold's the number 7. Malibu Mambu, the number 8, runs second, but winning number 1 Halo again. And we talked a little bit about this horse yesterday. You can see him. Nice rail skimming ride here from Hernandez. Again, one of the three guys that you really watch up there. Eureka Da Silva, Hernandez, and Contreras. But sneaks up the rail And I'm just looking at the chart. Chased along the rail throughout, roused by the rider to re-rally as the field turned for home, dipped back inside the tiring front runners at the 16th pole to stick his head in front, gamely out finishing the place horse. But as I say, we talked about this horse, Halo, again, because this was a Steve Asmussen horse who had broken the maiden in the career debut down at Churchill on October 27th, but Ontario bred. Coronation Futurity, $225,000. Now, again, I mentioned it earlier with Sadler's Joy. I'm a buyer's guy. The buyer was a little bit light. I mean, he won his career debut with a 56. Muskoka Gold has been running in the mid-70s. I didn't see the buyer for yesterday. I'm going to have to see maybe during a break, see if somebody posted it online. But I would clearly expect this to be an improved number for Halo again, which is always possible in the second start of the career for them to move forward. But it wasn't only a question of, hey, broke the maiden at Churchill, now you go up, you try Stakes Company up in Canada, but that means going from the dirt track at Churchill Downs to the synthetic at Woodbine. Not only did it successfully, look pretty good. It was a chart margin of only a head, but it was a nice run there. Malibu Mambo, the number 8 horse, again under Eureka Da Silva. A good second. Again, Halo again had to hold that one off late, who was moving on the outside. So Malibu Mambo, again, and only the third career start, also one that will be worth watching next year as a 3-year-old. But, again, because Halo, again, comes from the Steve Asmussen barn, and given that yesterday's race was restricted to Ontario breds, that means Halo, again, an Ontario bred, and that means maybe Steve Asmussen in the Queen's Plate next year. We'll see what they do with Halo again moving forward. But that is certainly a possibility, given that now the horse has shown some kind of affinity for that synthetic surface up at Woodbine. But nice win from Halo again. A little bit disappointing from Muskoka Gold. He's back by just about a length there, again, as the 9-5 favorite. Did have a little trouble maybe at the start. And again, given what we've seen from him this year, he's also another horse that certainly worth watching next year as a 3-year-old. Again, I think top three in there all have a little bit of talent that's worth taking a look at. Please call me back. The Roger Atfield horse that has also been a pretty good-looking 2-year-old so far, and we mentioned that one yesterday with Ron Gierking. Question with Please Call Me Back was going to be the move from turf to synthetic, because the entire career so far has been on turf. Please Call Me Back winds up 7th in the field of 8. I don't know if you can make up your mind on one effort, but certainly that one effort did not lend necessarily to confidence going forward with the synthetic for Please Call Me Back, but we'll see what they do with that one as a 3-year-old next year. Finally, pulled up the Native Diver out at Del Mar. Scratched down to a field of 4, so a little bit disappointing as far as field size, but I wanted to show this one because it featured Roadster as the 4-5 choice. Roadster, of course, the Bob Baffert runner that ran 16th in the Kentucky Derby, but prior to that had won the Santa Anita Derby. So this was a 3-year-old from Baffert that certainly had shown some talent. Took off most of the summer and came back in the Damascus last time and just missed running second. But his chicklet is the number 4 chicklet, and his position is way back there. Midcourt winds up winning as the second choice, $7.60, the winning price. And again, you saw that 4 chicklet back of the field. That was not a promising performance from Roadster. Just a well-beaten 4th in the field of 4. We'll see what they regroup and do with Roadster going forward. But again, this is a horse that 3 wins and 7 career starts, nearly three-quarters of $1 million in the bank. Laid off virtually the entire summer and the early part of the fall, came back and just missed in that Damascus. Again, the Damascus, although was also a 4-horse field, but it was a good second-place finish. But that race yesterday from Roadster, oof, that was, as I say, a little bit of a head-scratcher. And I checked, Jay Pribman had a follow-up article, but there was no no follow-up with Bob Baffert in the article, so I didn't really hear if they came up with any specific excuse. The start was a little bit awkward, but not enough to explain, you know, never really being in the hunt, certainly down the stretch. All right, so there's some of the stakes that were run yesterday. Going to take a break, and with the big week coming up, have a little preview of some of the stakes action that will kind of kick off the Thanksgiving holiday weekend, because PPs are already out for some of the events coming up starting midweek. So I thought I'd give you a little preview on some of that. That'll be the next segment, and then a little bit later on, Ron Nicoletti from Gulfstream Park will go over that Rainbow Six down at GPW, Gulfstream Park West, with the mandatory payout today. Over $1 million already in the pool. That is going to balloon up significantly. We'll be watching Gulfstream Park West this afternoon here on the network, so it should be a lot of fun. Again, Ron Nicoletti coming up in a little bit, but right after this break, we'll just do a little preview of some of the holiday stakes that are going to kind of kick off the Thanksgiving weekend. Stay tuned. Be right back. More Racing Across America coming up.
Wagering on horse racing just got a lot easier at Capital OTB with our newly designed state-of-the-art mobile wagering site. Everything you need is right here on one easy-to-navigate mobile platform. Set your favorite tracks, pick your horses, place your bets, all with a simple tap of the screen. Plus, you'll have access to Capital OTB TV for all our network programming. So log on to CapitalOTBBet.com and see just how easy wagering on horse racing can be. An incredible destination to live, work, and play, with easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport. It's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement. From world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Here's some exciting news from Capital OTB. Capital Off-Track Betting and the Rivers Casino have partnered to bring you the finest experience in wagering on all your favorite thoroughbred and harness tracks from right inside the casino. Our newest location is open daily and can be found at Vance Flicks Bar, offering live tellers, self-serve betting terminals, racing information kiosks, and all the amenities you've come to expect from Capital OTB. See you at the Rivers Casino in Schenectady.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. Seth Merrill in the studio. Thanks for joining us. Again, going to preview some of the stakes. PPs are already out for some of the early part of the holiday weekend, including Wednesday. PPs came out a day or two ago for the Zia Park card, which includes the Zia Park Derby. And I had a couple of replays, and I was going to talk a little bit about some of these races. But I have to admit, they've kind of fallen apart. We'll see. You can take a look. There's a nice all-stakes pick five that includes the Zia Park Oaks and the Zia Park Derby on the card. But take a look. It's fallen apart a little bit. Mary Rampolini had a list of some of the known, you know, we're Sunday talking about Wednesday races, some horses that are already known. And part of it is the unfortunate incident. They have one of those equine virus kind of situations at Remington, which is kind of made for a quarantine situation where tracks like Zia are not accepting the Remington runners. So I was going to say, if you're playing that pick five in the Zia Park Oaks, maybe Lady Apple would have been a single, but it looks like Lady Apple is out. She is based at Remington for Steve Asmussen, so she will not be in. Horologist, according to Rampolini, will also be scratched. So it looks like the Zia Park Oaks is going to fall apart a little bit. The horse I liked in the Zia Park Derby, Bankit, the New York bred for Steve Asmussen, based at Remington, won't make it. Tone Broke, another Asmussen runner who has shown some ability this year, winning a couple of legs of the Canadian Triple Crown. That one based at Remington and out. And again, it's if you're not familiar, Remington Park, one of those equine virus situations. It's a contagious disease, can be fatal, but it's contagious enough that in these kind of situations, typically what happens is just what happens here, that the track itself gets kind of quarantined. They can run races. Not all horses are affected. They take measures to keep the virus from spreading. And then essentially, I think it's 2 weeks after the last known case is diagnosed. If they haven't found a new case, then typically the quarantine ends. But this is just a situation that, yeah, it's fairly, I think, within the last week or so at Remington. So again, those Remington horses will not be making the trip, unfortunately, to Zia. But I was going to take a look at, you know, three of the races in here. But the horses I liked were Remington horses, and a few of them were Steve Asmussen horses. So now Zia. Again, the PPs are out. You can print them up. It's going to be a nice day at Zia. Hopefully some of these stakes will hold together. But it becomes a little more of an unknown situation now. But the Zia Park Oaks on Wednesday, and again, this kind of would have been a nice kickoff to the weekend. The Oaks would have gone off at about 5 o'clock our time. Will go off about 5 o'clock our time. Zia Championship, nice race for three-year-olds and up at a mile and an eighth with a $150,000 purse. They had a field of 11 going. Still may wind up Restrained Vengeance if that one comes in from the West Coast, and I would think that would be a game plan. Could be interesting. The turf to dirt move is a question mark, but that one has a little bit of interest. Sky Promise for Robertina Diodoro, Bokila Island coming out of a win at Zia and what was probably a prep race for this. Looking at Lee was one that I thought was a little bit interesting for Steve Asmussen, but that one based at Remington, probably unlikely to show up. And I'm just looking at the last workout was Remington, so I'm assuming he's probably still there, which would preclude that one. But I'm looking, the Zia Championship may hold together decently. And again, some of the horses that were interesting to begin with still might show up in there. The highlight of the day, the Zia Park Derby, $250,000. And again, we're getting towards the end of the year, the chance to compete for that kind of money against just three-year-olds. Opportunities aren't around that much anymore. Bank It, I thought, was going to be fun. This is the horse that won the New York Derby. And I wonder how many New York Derby winners have shown up in the Zia Park Derby. But a Steve Asmussen runner who, a nice little New York bred. And it was going to be fun to see what Bank It could do in this, again, end of the year, three-year-old Derby for $250,000. But being based at Remington, you'd think that one at Tone Boat broke likely will not make the trip. According to Mary Rampolini, proverb for Richard Baltus, also not likely to make the trip from Southern California. But maybe Mr. Moneybags off a nice win here in a race, a stakes race last time, win at Zia. So we'll see how it shapes up now. But a couple of the name horses, Bank It and Tone Broke from Steve Asmussen, again, being based in Remington, unlikely to make it. So we'll see. It still will be, with a lot of stakes action, a nice little kickoff on Wednesday to the holiday week at Zia. But you'll have to kind of take a look now at scratches and see how that plays out. Coming up on Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, plenty of stakes action, obviously, but a couple of stakes that I wanted to just take a little preview of, because again, early PPs are already out, and that is Thursday at Churchill Downs, the Fall City Grade 2 event, $300,000 for fillies and mares. Going to take a look now at the Chalukie, going back to November 2nd. And it's going to be Sally's Curlin, the number one, over My Lady Curlin, the number two. They're both back on Thursday, and you would have to think these horses will take the action. There's no morning line in the PPs I printed up. But off of this effort, these two look kind of like logical contenders. My Lady Curlin, trained by Brad Cox. Thursday, Tyler Gaffleone scheduled to be on. Sally's Curlin, the horse that won there. There you see the number one Sally's Curlin. Corey Lannery was on board, back on board on Thursday scheduled for trainer Dale Romans. Again, they look logical. Go Google yourself, however. Comes out of a stakes win at Churchill herself. She won the Locust Grove back in the middle of September. Radajkowski for Brian Lynch. Nice little New York bred. Comes down from New York to try this stakes company, and stepping out of New York bred company could be a little bit interesting as well. Moonlit Garden, another Brad Cox runner that is a proven and quality stakes quality performer. Also a potential contender in here. Looks like a fun race with a scheduled field of 9 in the Fall City on Thursday down at Churchill. A couple of races later down at Churchill. And again, at the end, they have been some, as we've seen doing OTV Live, for the past couple of weeks probably, they have really been battling some weather down there at Churchill. But at the end of the day, it looked like the sun came out. I was kind of trying to decide whether the sun came out or whether they turned the lights on early. But I'm pretty sure the sun was kind of peeking through at the end of the day. So maybe they're going to turn around, and we'll kind of have to hope that is the case, because one of the other features on Thursday down at Churchill is going to be the Cardinal Grade 3 event for the ladies on the grass at a mile and an eighth. This one, we're going to take a look at the E.P. Taylor back October 12th up at Woodbine. The winner here will be number 8, Starship Jubilee. I mentioned earlier Ron Gierkink yesterday kind of tossed her name in the hat as potential horse of the year up in Canada. Starship Jubilee, again, the number 8 horse here. You can see a nice win in the E.P. Taylor. Nice grade 1 event. Before that, it won the grade 2 Canadian on Woodbine Mile weekend. We were up there for that. Was in Saratoga, tried the Ballston Spa this summer. Ran a good close third behind Significant Form. So, 3 wins so far this year for Starship Jubilee, including those 2 stakes most recently up at Woodbine. Started the season out winning the Sunshine Millions Fillion Mare Turf down at Gulfstream. So we'll see what she can do in the Cardinal, because again, as Ron said, potential Canadian Horse of the Year contender. I would think, she's got a nice record. Those last 2 wins, very nice. But I would think Pink Lloyd with the 6-for-6 record is sitting in a pretty good spot. But a potential field of 6-9-12 in the Cardinal. Again, we'll keep our fingers crossed that things hold up weather-wise down at Churchill over the next few days, and that one can stay on the turf on Thanksgiving Day. And just to give you a little bit of a run through of some of the stakes action that is coming up on Thanksgiving Day, the Cardinal in the Fall City, the Fall Highway at Aqueduct, one of my favorite races every year, although it's different. It used to be you'd see 140, 138. It's a little bit different than it used to be, but it's still a fun race. A couple other stakes down at Aqueduct on Thanksgiving Day. Friday, obviously, will be a big day this week with the Clark Handicap, the grade 1 down at Churchill Downs. They'll also have the Mrs. Revere kicking off the nice turf festival at Del Mar with the Hollywood Turf Cup on Friday. Actually, the red carpet on Thanksgiving Day out at Del Mar, but the Hollywood Turf Cup on Friday at Del Mar. Aqueduct, also 3 stakes on Friday, the Cumley, the Forever Together, and the Giaponte. And then on Saturday, a week from yesterday, Aqueduct Turf Championship, the Discovery, the Long Island, all down at Aqueduct, Churchill Downs. Churchill Downs on Saturday is going to be fun because 'tis the law. Maybe gets an Eclipse Award tucked into his back pocket in the Kentucky Jockey Club down at Churchill. Also the Golden Rod for the 2-year-old ladies down at Churchill. Out at Del Mar, the Hollywood Derby, the Jimmy Durante, the Seabiscuit. So some nice stakes down there. Kick off the Gulfstream Park season with some stakes on Saturday as well. Sunday, turf action out of Del Mar with the Cecil B. DeMille and the Matriarch also. So it's a nice stakes weekend coming up, certainly, across the country on this upcoming holiday weekend. Should be a lot of fun. All right, and I did have a note as far as 'tis the law work yesterday. Tis the Law, 59-3 yesterday, Tis the Law, in prep for that Kentucky Jockey Club. Yesterday, the main track at Belmont. Everybody was pleased with that. And Tis the Law scheduled to arrive tomorrow, the 25th. From New York, Manny Franco scheduled to ride down at Churchill in that Kentucky Jockey Club for Tis the Law. Jack Knowlton, Barkley Tag, Sacatoga Stable. We'll see how it works out for that nice two-year-old on the weekend. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, jump in the pool. Over $1 million up for grabs right now. By the time all is said and done, $5, $6, $7 million maybe. In the Gulfstream Park West, mandatory pay, Rainbow Six. We'll get some ideas from Ron Nicoletti right after this. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Here in upstate New York, no one provides bettors with more wagering options than Capital OTB. Our network of ranch and easy bet locations stretches from the mid-Hudson Valley all the way to the Canadian border and west to central New York. So whether you need to place a bet, fund your Capital Bets account, or watch the next big race, all the action is just around the corner. A full list of our branch and easy bet locations can be found online at CapitalOTB.com. Capital OTB, the better and most convenient choice for wagering in upstate New York.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, joined now by our friend Ron Nicoletti. This time of year, Gulfstream Park West, normally Gulfstream Park. Ron, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Seth?
Very good. And I have to ask you, we were at the harness track, I want to say a month and a half or so ago, and doing a remote up there, and your cousin came over and said hello, and he said, Ron's over in Italy now. How was the trip?
Oh, the trip was fantastic. It was really good. Good to get away. We've gone for like 17 days. I couldn't believe
nice.
That. Paris, but it was real nice to see. Went back to the old home country, you know.
How was the food?
Food was fantastic. That really was good. That was the best part of the whole thing. But now I got to buy new pants.
Well, maybe you'll be able to afford a few pair after today with the $1 million up for grabs currently. And I don't know, what number are they floating around? I looked at the Mike Welch column, and I think he tossed out like $6-7 million by the time all is said and done today.
Yeah, I had said, I thought $5 million, and everybody laughed at me, said it's too low. And I was thinking, well, you know, it's not Gulfstream, it's Gulfstream West.
Yeah.
But I guess the word is out. I mean, it's, you know, pretty tough sequence, but you get a chance to, you know, even if you don't get that one unique ticket, you could take down a lot of money.
Yeah, I'm putting a ticket together, and at the 20-cent increment, you can put together a ticket that I think has a little punch. And let's go through the sequence and see what we can come up with here. Things start out a little after 2 o'clock, about 2:15. The fourth race kicks off the Rainbow Six. We're bottom-level conditional claimers. I said 3, 2, 4, and 6, and I thought the 3 and the 2 were the horses you had to get through. I'll probably stick with those. Vicky Apple and Leilani, they both have some pretty good numbers. Vicky Apple comes off a nice win, one condition below, but she did it in a way that I think says, yeah, the next condition isn't going to be a real obstacle. So for me, it's 3, 2, 4, and 6. Your thoughts on the fourth?
Well, the 2 got scratched, Leilani.
Okay, all right.
I just got that in, so I went 3, 4, 6, just like you, with Vicky Apple and Infinity Sky. And I ordered Pompous Girl. Now, that today, Christian Torres, the apprentice, busted up his lip. He won't be riding. That'll be Paco Lopez. So Pompous Girl, suit and speed. I like the fact that, you know, Paco's just been riding great. That so I'm going to go 3, 4, 6 to Leilani. And there was one other big scratch in the sequence. I'll tell you what it is now. Race 8, the number 2, Sterling. Those were the two big ones out of there.
All right, let me, okay, I had that one on top too. All right, yeah. All right, I'm good. Now I got to readjust the ticket. But that's all. And I say that to people these days. You do want to. I usually sit back, but I handicapped yesterday, obviously, because we put out the handicapper support sheet that's available on the website. But normally these days, I like to kind of sit back and wait for those scratches, so you don't get married to anything. But you do have to have to take the scratches into account and work your ticket from there. All right, let's move on to race number five, Maiden 20 Claimers, scheduled on the grass. Oh, I should ask you. And I looked yesterday, and it looks like weather should be okay today, correct?
Yeah, it's beautiful. I'm fast and firm, unless we get a crazy storm in South Florida, but I don't think that'll be the case. There's no rain expected, so we're dealing with a fast and firm track.
That's what we like to hear. So the fifth scheduled on the grass at 5. I went 9, 7, 8, and 5. Milka on top gets a little bit of class relief. A decent try last time, so that one seemed logical. And then La Flamenca. But also a decent little try last time with some improving numbers. Those two look kind of logical to me. 9, 7, 8, and 5 for me. Your thoughts on the fifth?
Well, I went too deep in here with my ticket. I got a $64.80 ticket that I put together that's online and everything. I went with Milka for all the reasons you mentioned, 3 to 5 in the morning line, which I think is a little low. When I used Golden Knoll to turn it to the grass, this one really lost all chance. Beat out at the start steady. It's Antonio Sano, Paco Lopez, Daughter of Algorithms. I'm going to put a line through that last race and go too deep in here, 8 and 9.
Yeah, you look at the morning line and you think, oh, maybe Milka's a single, but I'm with you. This class and this caliber and this particular field, I don't know if I'd feel comfortable with a single.
Right. You know, actually, when we get to the next race, I actually like a horse better in that race than I did in the previous race, and I didn't single any of the ones, so.
All right, let's move on to race number six. Again, bottom level conditional claimers going a mile in the sixth race. I went 5, 3, 8, and 7. Cabre on top, lightly raced, but the last couple were pretty good. That number two back was pretty good, but then took the drop last time that maybe raised some red flags, but ran well, and that was at this level, so I would expect that one to be live again today. And Deal It With Dude, Jaramillo on board. I like when he's riding, and certainly riding well down at Gulfstream Park West. And some class relief for that one is a little bit scary. So for me, 5, 3, 8, and 7. Your thoughts on the sixth?
Well, I went with two in this race because I really like Cabre at stretching out to the mile return from. That was about a 5 month layup. Tony beaten that leg. We'll be ridden today by apprentice Mikel Tunon, I think it's pronounced. He rode up in Jersey. He's supposed to be a pretty good rider because Christian Torres, as I mentioned, not riding today. Then I did deal with a dude on the class relief for Ralph Nick, MSDL Jaramillo. You know, I thought that was a logical contender in there. So 5 and 3 for me in that race.
Nice. All right, let's move on to race number 7 at Gulfstream Park West on this mandatory payday. The seventh race, $10,000 conditional claimers. Again, this one scheduled on the grass, 7.5 furlongs. 8, 9, 3, and 10, and I'll probably spread a little bit in here using at least three of these. But Eric the Salesman, as you mentioned, Paco Lopez going well, and the numbers stack up pretty nicely with this group. America's Samard, again, numbers a little bit lighter than the top pick, but on a best effort belongs. And Take Notice, I thought, for Rob Falcone could be a little bit interesting. Tossed in a clunker last time, and because of that, we may get some value, and maybe that's just the way the horse is gone. But I thought, you know, maybe I'll give this horse one more look and hope maybe I get juiced up with a price there, potentially with a horse that, if it does turn around, could fit with this group. So I went 8, 9, 3, and 10.
Well, you know, that's what you try and find, a couple of horses like that, you know, that you think will bounce back and you get a little bit of a price on. But I thought that Eric the Salesman was the right horse. Turning back to 7.5, pretty solid performance at a mile into 16th. I sort of gave him the nod on a consistency angle. I used Southern Seas hoping to finally notch this condition to 3 lifetime after rallying to finish second. Just didn't want to get beat by that horse. And then I used Lawyer Drill, who's making a strong case to be on the ticket for me. Stanley Gold, Hyrule Rendon. I thought maybe, so I went 8, 6, and 4 in that race.
Nice. All right, race number 8 on Sunday afternoon. B condition claimers, and as you say, Derlin, the number 2 is out, right?
Yes.
Okay, so that changes my ticket up because I had that one on top for Safi Joseph. But I'm now 3-8-4. Nonsense dropped down to this level last time and ran well. One of those I say a lot of times when I'm handicapping. Why not right back? They won a pretty similar race last time. Why not right back? So Nonsense in the mix for me. Also the 8 and the 9th, or the 8 and the 4. 3-8-4 for me in the 8th. What were your thoughts?
Well, here's where my long shot comes in for the day, and the 7 Painter Pheasant, 15-1 on the morning line, and actually moves up a little bit with the scratch of Erland in my estimation. Dave Ewan locally for Timmy Hill, stretched out, he rallies to finish second behind that repeat winner called Corner of the Cob. It was a 12-hot condition claimer going 6 at Monmouth Park, Nick Juarez. I just thought this horse might be the sneaky. This is the one that I'm counting on to maybe knock some people out. So I went just 7-3, and I added the 6, I believe, in there with the scratch of the 2.
All right, very good. Let's move on to race number 9 in the sequence this afternoon, and that is the finale. Hopefully everybody gets there. If I get there, I'm going to use all 4 of mine in this race. I have it 7-5-4-1. Put the 7 on top with some numbers that, again, stack up nicely with this group for Terry Pompey. Tennessee Cotton also in the mix with fairly comparable numbers, as is Blues Song, the number 4 horse, with comparable numbers. And some good form recently, too, for that one. So as I say, I'll probably go 4 deep in here, 7-5-4-1. Your thoughts on the finale?
Yeah, I have 7 on top, Tail Adios on top, with Tennessee Cotton in second and passing moments, who's breaking from the rail to Dave Casson, Marcos Podestas inside door. So I went 3 deep in here with the 7, the 5, and the number 1.
Very good. And again, Ron, people go to your Twitter account. I assume they can pull up the your ticket for this afternoon. But I'm also assuming maybe the pregame show, and as the day goes along, your ticket will be displayed on the simulcast as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be displayed on the simulcasting. We'll do the early show, too. We have it. So it'll be out there. And I'm just hoping that long shot wins so I can go back to Italy.
Hey, I'm hoping my long shot wins so I can make the first trip to Italy. But let's also talk a little bit about, as the Gulfstream Park West meet wraps up, how did things go? You know, we were watching up here, and I saw Jason Beam was doing some of the announcing. He was doing a nice job. He did a great job at Monmouth this summer, and then went down to Colonial. And as I was watching a week or so ago, I thought, that's Jason's voice. And sure enough, I looked on his Twitter feed. He was down there. He did a nice job. But overall, how'd the GPW meet go?
It was pretty good this year, actually, because we kept it at 8-9 races. We had some quality races. And if you go back, you know, it wasn't just the, you know, Nomwood is the 2-15 horses on the turf. It was some good races. We had optional claimers. I thought it went very smoothly, and it was a pretty good meet. And now we're ready, of course, to go across town. We're actually drawing Friday's card this afternoon, so we'll see what kind of races we have starting Friday afternoon. Looking to get back across town.
Yeah, and certainly we make our annual trips down there, so we're looking forward to the championship meet again. And obviously when that kicks off, we'll plug in to talk a little bit about some of the stakes action down there as well on occasion. We appreciate the visit this afternoon, though, with the mandatory. Looking forward to it. And Ron, good luck to you. Good luck to us all.
That's for sure. Good luck. Bye.
Appreciate it. Ron Nicoletti, Gulfstream Park West. Again, $1 million in the pool today that could balloon up to $6, $7 million by the time things get settled. The handicappers report page, and I didn't look to see, but I did put a ticket together for that page. But again, with a couple of scratches in the mix, I will redo that. We'll tweet out. And here on the network, we'll be looking at Gulfstream Park West. So we'll put up a graphic as the day progresses. I'll put up a little ticket myself and see how things work out as far as... Got to take a shot. My ticket that I had on the sheet was $51, I think. And I'm going to look to be in that $40 to $60 range probably to take a little shot. Because, again, it's one of those that you can go a lot deeper. I don't know if it's going to help, though. A couple of these races, you either make your stand or I think you have to go really deep. So we'll see. As I say, I'll probably keep it in that $40 to $60 range. But we'll redo things based on a couple of the scratches that Ron mentioned. And that'll be displayed during the day. We'll have Gulfstream Park West here on the network as the afternoon progresses. And again, I'll be back in an hour or so with thoughts on the Sunday action. We'll be looking at some Aqueduct some Churchill Downs, Saratoga Harness, and Gulfstream Park West. I did have some notes to touch on before we wrap things up. Jockey Colony, I'm stuck with Southern California. And again, I mentioned it yesterday. News this week that Thoroughbred Safety Coalition was announced. A number of organizations. The Breeders' Cup was in, Strana Group, Naira was in, Del Mar, I believe, Keeneland. A number of the bigger track ownership groups came together. They will have some safety initiatives that they'll be announcing, and you know, medication issues and vet exams and protocols and whatnot. So that's good news, you know, the industry being a little proactive there. But with things that happened at Santa Anita this year, Santa Anita announced its 2020 schedule, and it's pretty much there and intact, but they're going to be a lot more cautious on inclement weather days. And so what will that mean? And that puts things a little bit up in the air. I mean, horse racing is a game that's played outside, and normally, regardless of the weather, it goes, unless, you know, there obviously there can be inclement weather, you know, and certainly in the Northeast we know that. We have had hot days that have caused cancellations at Saratoga. We had snowy days and windy days down in the New York City area. So a weather cancellation isn't out of the question, but I think they're going to be more cautious than normal out in Southern California. So again, that leaves things a little bit up in the air for connections. And some of the jockeys, Joe Talamo has announced he is going to switch up his year-round rotation. He's going to head to Oaklawn for their meet the beginning of next year, and then pretty much have an Arkansas-Kentucky circuit. So he's pretty much out of Southern California. Talamo, 2007 Eclipse Award winner. And it was interesting. I had linked to Equidaily week and a half ago, an article from Talamo where he, his agent were commenting. And just the change in the horse population, number of races, size of race fields had kind of changed his potential. And this article that I pulled out on him moving to Oaklawn mentions Talamo in between 2007 and 2014 had ridden more than 1,000 mounts per year. But then 2017, he went from that 1,000 or over. 2017, he was at 751. Last year, he was at 688. And so far this year, just over 500. And so pretty much because of just racing, the racing business changing, he had kind of lost half of his opportunities. So he's going to hope that maybe things kick up. Boy, I'll tell you, Churchill, with the purses they're throwing and field size, Kentucky may be attracting a lot more. Martin Garcia has moved from California to Kentucky within the past couple of weeks as well. So Joe Talamo on the move. Corey Nakatani has officially announced his retirement. He was seriously injured in an accident last year at Del Mar. 49 years old, 3,900 races won, 3,900 plus, 120 grade one races for Corey Nakatani. Obviously one of the more notable and more talented jockeys of our generation here, as it were, and announces his retirement. It's one of those not unexpected things in that, you know, he was on the sidelines for well over a year, and at 49 that he announced his retirement, I think just kind of made it official. And one more jockey of note, moving tack from the West Coast, Kent DeSormo heads to Fairgrounds this winter. Over 6,000 career wins, one of only 18 riders who passed the 6,000 career win mark, also 49 years old. But he's quoted as saying, getting to ride 10 horse fields and having more mounts is a satisfying relief. So again, kind of reacting to the situation out in Southern California, Kent DeSormo heading to Fairgrounds this winter. All right, that catches you up with some of the news. Let me just once again run through the promos. Bonus day today at both Del Mar and Churchill, 2% bonus on Del Mar, 3% bonus on Churchill. There are some restrictions, so you have to check out the website for more information on those bonuses. But again, 2% Del Mar, 3% Churchill. Check out CapitalOTB.com for more information. Clubhouse Racebook today. Watch all the football action. Cheer on your favorite team. Cheer on your favorite racehorses. All the football action, all the racing action every Sunday during the NFL season. Clubhouse Racebook, 7-Eleven Central Avenue in Albany. Once again, a couple of mandatories to mention. The big one today down at Gulfstream Park West. Jump in. Gulfstream Park West, Rainbow Six, 20-cent increment. Kicks off in race number 4 at about quarter after 2. Check your scratches and then formulate yourself a little ticket and take a swing at what will be a big pot today down at Gulfstream Park West. And the other mandatory to mention coming up on Friday, our bounty bet here at Capital OTB. On Friday, day after Thanksgiving, just take a swing at the late pick 5 at Aqueduct, and you have a chance at that $2,000 plus bounty, all or part of it. Again, that comes up on Friday, day after Thanksgiving. Also, the turkey giveaway. I do want to mention that one more time. Thanks to our friend Roddy Valente for his sponsorship, Valente and Family, Valente Gravel. Also, co-sponsorship with Capital OTB, Kenworth, Capital City Produce, Persh, Kaplan, and Sterling, and ShopRite. Wednesday, here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 7-Eleven Central Avenue in Albany. Come on down. It's a popular event. I'm not sure how many years we've been doing it now, but again, hats off to Roddy and his family for their generosity, giving folks who maybe need a little help for that Thanksgiving dinner. You get the turkey, and typically there's some fixings as well in a little bag you can carry. Come on down and pick up your turkey Wednesday, November 27th, that's this coming Wednesday, here at the Clubhouse Racebook, starting at 11 a.m. They'll start passing them out. There's usually a big Valente gravel truck, and the back end is filled up with some turkeys. And come on down and grab your free Thanksgiving turkey on Wednesday, starting at 11 a.m. Clubhouse Racebook, 7-Eleven Central Avenue in Albany. And again, thanks to Roddy and family for their sponsorship of that event. All right, I'm going to wrap it up. Racing Across America on a Sunday morning in the books. I will be back as far as morning pro. Well, as far as morning programming, I'll be back my normal time next Saturday. But I was going to say I headed out for myself a little Thanksgiving celebration down at my sister's in Arkansas, but back on Friday evening. So I will miss nothing scheduled for the afternoon on Thanksgiving, but I will miss my afternoon slot next Friday. But as far as, again, this morning programming, I'm right back on schedule next Saturday. So that is the situation there. In the meantime, I want to wish all of you a good Thanksgiving week. I'll be back this afternoon, so I'll have a chance to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving then as well. Before I take off, I do have the afternoon edition of OTB Live. That'll kick off in about an hour. So thanks for tuning in this morning. As always, we'll see you a little bit later on.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.